Hello and welcome to ABW Radio Live. Home or away, win or lose, ABW Radio is your place to share Arsenal views. I am your host, Chris, and I've just about got out of my slumber of, sleepiness. That wasn't the best. I'm going to say straight off the bat, people, we cannot polish a turd. We're going to do our very best to keep you entertained for the next 45 minutes to an hour. I'm joined by my podcasting husband and the man who keeps London on the move. It's John and it's Carl. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello. Good
afternoon.
Right. May I say, John, the beard is better. It's better. I would expect some bloke in the chat room to give his views on it shortly, so look out for that.
Probably. I'm just gonna shave it off because I just get fed up with the abuse now. It's getting ridiculous. He can't even grow a moustache. Have you seen it?
That's true, actually. Do you want to ring some errands before we get going, or are you all right to carry on?
No, I'll power through. It's okay.
Okay, just don't mention Gladbach. Right, Arsenal winning just about. Burnley 0, Arsenal 1. I'm going to go to you for you both for your initial thoughts. I imagine they're going to be brief. John, what do you reckon?
Well, that
Dom's,
was...
Dom's already popped up in the chat, sorry. Carry on.
That was, pretty poor. Nice to get a goal, obviously, and win the game. I didn't think we were going to. I'll be honest, even after... I thought maybe you get to half-time, okay, it's a bit slow, a bit sluggish, maybe pick up the pace a bit second half. Started to do that a little bit, but didn't really create any chances, and Burnley probably had the better chances to score, I think, in the game, really, or clear-cut ones. We just looked really... I don't know whether they were knackered or just couldn't be bothered today. It was just really slow-paced. It wasn't just sort of one player being off it. There was a few, like Iwobi was a bit off today. Ozil wasn't really in the game. Cazorla wasn't dictating a lot. You know, Xhaka wasn't even imposing himself in midfield. Sanchez was dropping deep, but not really doing a lot. The game as a whole was pretty shit. But 3 points, I'll take that all day long.
Yep, it's exactly what me and Carl said a minute ago. Carl, do you share John's views? Anything you want to add? It's a bit sleepy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was watching the game, but I wasn't really watching the game because nothing happened. First half was shit. It really was. We didn't really do anything. We couldn't string passes together, which is really weird. Like, obviously, we're known for our passing, but our passing was really, really off, which is a bit weird. Second half that John said, I thought we'd pick up the pace, come out the blocks quickly, but we didn't. It was the same old, same old. I think we had, one shot on goal in the first half and obviously two in the second. It was just a game that was sluggish. I think the last two games, I think it's taken its toll. You know, we started quick against Chelsea and against Basel. And I think obviously just sort of caught up with us today, and obviously didn't help with Burnley sort of semi-parking the bus, because I don't think they were really interested in going forward that much. I think they sort of were relying on set pieces to sort of get their goal. And when obviously you got close to about 9 men behind the ball, it's hard for us to break them down. But the important thing is we did break them down. We managed to get the goal. Still don't know who scored it. Bit of Ox, bit of Koscielny. Doesn't make a difference. End of the day, the score was 1-0 and we won.
Exactly that, yeah, perfectly summed up. You could put that in the papers tomorrow, really. It was just a really strange game. Let's have a look at the lineup. John, any surprises for you? Anything that caught you by surprise? I was kind of likely to be unchanged, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I didn't think there was any surprise. The only thing was the bench. I think people were expecting either Perez or Giroud, one of the two, to be on there, but I think both injured still. Or Perez has picked up a slight knee injury, apparently. But as for the starting lineup, I don't think it was going to be changed. I just seen a great tweet from at Semper Liber. We killed your cows, now we break your hearts. Fuck off, Burnley. It's brilliant. If anyone doesn't know, a train hit a cow on the way. It wasn't just for Arsenal fans, but it was a lot of Arsenal fans were using it to get to the Burnley game, and they were delayed and couldn't make it. So, yeah, lovely tweet that. I thought that's spot on.
Yeah, I do like that. That's a nice bit of humour there. I like it. Carl, just on with regards again, like obviously we've played a couple of superb games in, well, basically a week, 10 days have been brilliant in the last three games. Was it a surprise to you that we kept Faith in the same lineup? Were you sort of, again, like me and John, were you expecting it or did you think he might freshen it a bit?
I did think he'd start Perez, but obviously he's got an injury. Apart from that, I didn't think he'd change it at all. I did think they'd rotate sort of the forward line because, as you said, they've played sort of a lot of games and they've played nearly every minute of all the games. I was really hoping to see Perez today because I really wanted him to start to see what he could do against sort of a Premier League team. But obviously, it wasn't meant to be. Giroud, I don't know, I'm in two minds whether he's injured or not, to be honest. If he is, then so be it. But something tells me that there's something more to Giroud's injury for some reason. But at the end of the day, like I said, it's kind of going to be the theme of today. We've got the 3 points and that's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. The latest on Giroud, Didier Deschamps has confirmed he is injured. But bear in mind, Deschamps and Wenger go way back. So, you know, you can't really be too sure whether they're spinning the same line or not. But the latest line is that he does have this continued toe injury and is out. Maybe it's the same injury that Ramsey got with a hamstring when he was out for 3 weeks. And I don't think we've seen him for about 7 weeks now. So it's a classic Arsenal injury. But yeah, we shall see what happens to the handsome Frenchman. John, with regards to the first half performance, and we'll just take the half as a whole because I genuinely cannot remember any incidents at all, to be honest with you. What did you think sort of coming into the halftime break? I mean, were you satisfied that we'd nullified most of their threat? Were you more concerned that we didn't offer a threat? What was your general feelings at halftime?
I wasn't overly surprised because post-Champions League, we're always a little bit sluggish away from home. You knew Burnley were going to sit in, defend deep. Expected a little bit more second half. So I just thought, okay, first half, yeah, you just got to be patient in games like this. It's going to take time. The only disappointment was sort of the usual kind of complaints of lack of width, not moving the ball fast enough, that kind of thing. You always felt that if we moved it a bit quicker or spread the play a little bit more, push the fullbacks a bit wider, got them actually out on, you know, onto the touchline, then we might have been able to stretch Burnley a bit more. Other than that, I thought Ozil was very quiet first half, and Iwobi was sort of blowing hot and cold. His decision making seemed really off today. They're not going to dig him out too much for it because, you know, he's a very young kid and he's got a long way to go yet. And he still did some very good things in the game. I thought Mustafi against Vokes was interesting. Because he's very aggressive trying to win the ball. And I thought Vokes got the better of him a couple of times. But again, that's experience of the league and what you can and can't get away with. I think the only thing I can remember from the first half, like clear chance, was the Vokes header when he probably had more time, could have brought it down in the box. Little bit worrying there that we went to sleep a little bit at the back. But other than that, you know, Burnley didn't really trouble us. And you know, I just thought it was a case of, right, second half, we'll just up the tempo a little bit. There'll be some more spaces. They'll tire because we're moving the ball around and we'll find the gap. So first half, I wasn't too worried. It was a bit dire to watch, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a little bit northern, wasn't it? A little bit northern. Carl, with regards to Burnley's threat at halftime, obviously we, from our performance, yeah, we looked a bit shot shy. We looked a little bit tame. But were you ever concerned that heading into the break, Burnley were going to change their style of play and maybe offer us a bit more of a threat to the second half, or was it more about whether we could score or not?
No, I didn't think they'd come at us, because if they come at us, then it means they're going to start creating gaps. And that's obviously the wrong thing to do with Arsenal, is to create gaps against us. So we just exploit you. I was kind of worried about them just lumping the ball forward, because that's kind of their game plan. And obviously these teams kind of work on that. So hitting the ball forward, knocking down and, you know, someone running onto it and getting a cheeky little goal. And they had a chance, didn't they, when they hit the post in the second half. And I guess that kind of worried me a little bit, because I thought, right, that's going to be the game plan from now on coming forwards. But I just didn't think, apart from that, there wasn't really a threat from them, because I don't think they were really interested in kind of getting a goal. Anyone who can get a point against Arsenal, it's almost like a victory to them. Do you know what I mean? Unless you're one of the big four or five teams, like, you're happy with getting a point. You know, and that's a point, probably more, 2 points more than you're looking to get. So, sorry, 1 point more than you're looking to get, sorry. So I don't think they were really kind of interested in attacking us. But there's always that inherent threat with Arsenal that the time they take their eye off the ball, no pun intended, there's always that chance that there's always something's going to happen, you know, like a deflection goal or just one of them hit the ball forwards, knock down and into the goal.
It is always the worry, isn't it? You just sort of think sucker punch or one end or the other. You're never quite sure which way it's going to come. It's quite glad it's come for us in the end. And John, second half, obviously we did look a little bit sharp. I still don't really feel like we played to our maximum or even well for the whole game. There wasn't really any point where I thought, oh yeah, we're at it now. But I did have this sort of feeling that we were getting closer, particularly the last 15 minutes where they literally set up a perimeter and armed guards dug a moat and hid in the trenches, didn't they, for the last 15, 20 minutes. Walcott went close. Alexis went close. Alexis very close, in fact. And then the goal came. What did you make of the goal? Because it was kind of beyond the stoppage time, wasn't it, when we got the corner? And then it was just really bizarre what happened next. Who are you giving the goal to, first of all?
I'm not sure. It's either... Well, there's a Walcott assist in there, which is bizarre at first. I mean, he's been in great form. You know, he's been scoring goals and he gets his head on it against a Burnley defence that, to be fair, up to that point, had been pretty good at dealing with anything put into the box. I thought, who's the bloke who used to be at Man United? Michael Keane?
Keane, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was really good today for Burnley. And yeah, so he gets the flick on and then I was like, is that, I don't know whether it's Oxlade-Chamberlain or Koscielny. I think it's Ox sort of bundles it and then it comes up off Koscielny and then up off his arm. And then, I don't know, like the keeper might have got a touch as well. I haven't got a clue whose goal that is.
I think if you look at it, when Ox gets the ball, that's going into Rosette. And I think when it hits Koscielny, that brings it down, it goes into the goal. So I'm going to give that to Koscielny because I do think that ball from Ox, it goes sky high. It really
does. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and Koscielny's essentially whatever part of his body, Koscielny's forward movement is what puts the ball into the net, isn't it? Rather than Ox's ball back. So yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with that. Was it a sigh of relief, John, or was it mad panic, or did you sort of expect it? I mean, obviously it's very, very late on. How did you take it?
Well, when I think it wasn't that long before that Sanchez had that really good volley that he put just wide of the post. It was a few minutes before and I thought, oh, that's it, like last chance. Then we get the corner and I just didn't expect anything because it's a corner and the other ones, the few sort of we'd had in the game had just been hit and the first man had cleared it. So I wasn't really expecting anything. I was sort of half turned away from the screen and then I heard flick on and turned and it sort of bundled in. Yeah, obviously really happy to get the 3 points. If I was being completely neutral, I'd probably say we're not really deserve all 3 points. I know people will say Burnley didn't really go forward or try and score a goal, but we didn't really create that much in the game, did we, to be honest? And I think the chances we did make, they weren't on target. So a little bit of luck, but sometimes you need that. The fact the team kept going until, you know, the very last minute of the game is nice. You've seen them before where they get against a really defensive team and they just sort of drop their heads and the passing goes astray and whatever. And in this game, it went the other way around. We actually got better as the game went on. So, good signs. Still a little bit of a worry that I understand why he didn't change the team, but they did look a bit tired. So, maybe that's something he needs to look at after a European game is switching it up a little bit, just to freshen things. I thought we looked a bit better when Elneny came on, a bit more energy in midfield. He just moves about a lot more. So that might be something he wants to look at in the future. But I just happy to get the 3 points, to be honest, especially after City slipping up today.
Yeah, agree. I didn't think it was a Xhaka type of game today, I must admit. I would have possibly plumped for Elneny, as you say, just for the energy and the movement, because Burnley are very, as you say, robust and they play everything centrally. I don't think that's Xhaka's best game. Xhaka likes to, as you know, pick up the ball deep and either spring a long pass into a channel or win the ball and drive into midfield with it. I didn't think he ever got the opportunity to do that.
This sort of game as well, where if Giroud wasn't injured, it would have been good to have Giroud on. Just be able to throw open more, you know, three more balls sort of in the box for him to win knockdowns or whatever. But yeah, just get the 3 points. That's all that matters at the moment.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Carl, what was your sort of reactions to the goal? And, you know, obviously, that was it sort of a sense of relief? I mean, that's kind of how I felt. I was like, yeah, that was that was quite a relief, because it was just, you just didn't see it coming, did you? Like John said, after that volley went wide, I thought, is that it now?
Yeah, I was getting ready to tweet that something now, for fuck's sake, Arsenal, all the time. Something like that. And then I got pissed off because when we broke forward, Alexis was wide. And I was thinking, you're our centre forward. Why are you not in the middle of the goal? And I was kind of really angry, sort of shouting at my TV, what I do. And then obviously it went for a corner. And when the ball come over, again, when the goal went in, I was like, oh, for blood, it's like typical Arsenal. I just literally thought that is just typical Arsenal, you know. I think with Arsenal, when they're good, they're really, really good. When they're bad, they're bad. There's no in between with Arsenal. Either they're brilliant or they're not. And there's a sigh of relief. Do you know what I mean? And I hate to say this very early, but it's the stuff that sort of makes champions. You know, what we said before, Chris, Man United have been doing this for absolute years. Years Man United have been doing it, getting injury time goals and sort of getting lucky wins, and sort of like when Man United do it, it's, oh, it's stuff of champions. When Arsenal do it, oh, they were lucky today. No, fuck that. That we got the goal, and that's got to be a confidence booster, especially going into the international break. Sort of like Arsene Wenger now should sit down with them and say, look, see, start believing yourself. Go away, go meet up with your national teams, come back, and we crack on straight away with the next game. It's something that I don't think sometimes we get enough credit for, because even the one against Leicester last year, wasn't it, where we got the last minute goal, that should have been a confidence boost. And I think we never really pushed on after the Leicester game, but this one I think we should, because there's more characters sort of in the team now, and I think we are a bit mature now. And we'll probably talk about this later, but I do think this may be Arsene Wenger's last season, and hopefully he wants to win sort of the league in his last season. So he's telling them to go out there, do what they need to do, and hopefully, sort of like we saw today, City slipping up. Tottenham will lose games. You know, we were talking about it before. But there are still other teams sort of that you need to look out for. But I think City losing today was a really, really big thing, because they were looking quite good, very, very good, in fact. So I think that just shows the belief in the squad that, you know, there was a big, 5 points between us. Now it's down to 2. So, you know, they're catchable. Of course they are.
I think that's, excuse me, that's officially the last unbeaten record gone, isn't it? So,
No, Tottenham are still unbeaten.
Oh, are they? Okay. Well, again, that's the last unbeaten run gone then, because that went last. we'll touch on some individuals. We will have a little say on other teams and, of course, the manager's day yesterday as well. I think we'll touch on that in a second. But let's have a look at some individuals. John, I want to start with you with Mesut Ozil. You know I love Mesut. I think he's a wonderful player. I thought he was abysmal today. I really did. I just thought he was like, you know, sometimes Mesut just has these games where he just doesn't look interested. And I know he does, you know, I'm not for a minute suggesting he doesn't care. Of course he cares. But he was just, every touch was poor. Every delivery was poor. His movement wasn't up to his usual standard. He was doing that sort of, oh, well, if you can't get me the ball, then I don't want to bother kind of thing. And if he was going to have one of those games, you want it away at Burnley when we win in the last minute 1-0, don't you? You don't want it in one of the big games. So do you have any concerns about his performance today, or am I just being a bit harsh?
No, I think there's an argument for it. There is a concern, because it's not the first time it's happened, and it does tend to be... I know, like, the papers always criticise him in the big games where we haven't won or whatever, or haven't got the result we were looking for. And I think that's just more a collective thing, and it's just he's the easy one to pick out because he's the most expensive player on the team. But in the smaller games, sometimes when it's not going our way, he does tend to hide a bit. And I think that's the difference between him and other players. Like, Iwobi wasn't great today, but he was always trying to do something. Ozil, a couple of times, you'd see him, he'd drop back to get the ball, it didn't go to him, but then he wouldn't, you know, he also wouldn't then move up with the play to try and get himself involved, and he does hide a little bit too much. That really annoys me, because he's good enough to influence play. And also the fact that he still, it seems like if something doesn't go his way, he does. You can see physically he drops. He doesn't step up and go, all right, I need to improve. I need to get my touch better and whatever, or just do something simple for 5 minutes and get my confidence back. It really seems to affect him, which is that's the only thing that ever worries me about him. Because when he's on it, he's just easily one of the best players in the league. He's just brilliant to watch. I mean, like there was a little clip of him just giving the ball back to a Burnley player for a throw-in, and he bounced the ball off the ground, off his other foot as a pass. Just ridiculous little bit of skill and things like that. You know, he's got all the talent and the ability, but it's like a mentality thing. That does worry me a little bit, that it's not the first time it happened, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's not, we see it again at some point this season.
Yeah, I think the thing is as well is that whatever anyone thinks or says, Meza is a luxury player, isn't he? That's why we have him. He is a luxury player that can do something, that can win a game literally like that. He can do nothing for a whole game and then win a game like that.
There are times when you don't take him off because you know that he can just, at some point, he can all of a sudden click and just find that one pass
somebody. But should you keep him on for that reason? Because at the end of the day, if there's someone on the bench who can make an impact, but you're keeping him on the pitch just because he may do something. Isn't that sort of, you know, when players can see when another player's having a bad game? Of course they can. So if you've got a player on the bench, I think, well, I can make an impact, but the manager's keeping him on just because he may do something. You know, that could have a negative effect. I'm not saying it is, but it could potentially.
I'm kind of in the camp of, you know, it is a tough one, is it? If they're having an absolute shocker, fine. But I think Mezet's in a position on the pitch where we haven't really got another Mezet, have we? That's the thing. Whereas we have got a lot of wingers and a lot of different options in those positions. I thought the substitutions were actually quite good today, to be honest. I thought they were the right personnel to come on. I thought Ox was... weirdly, I actually, just before he scored, I criticised him as he went to put it across and he did that thing where he just puts it straight to the first man. I was like, oh, Alex, you know, and then obviously he kind of was involved in the goal, which will help his confidence. So, but look at another sort of combo meal of players, Carl, with the centre-backs. We've been talking about how good Mustafi has settled in and his partnership with Koscielny. I still think Koscielny is so underrated. You know, I know he has made mistakes, and Christ, who hasn't? Paolo Maldini made mistakes, by the way. But he's just such a good leader, I think, now. And he's got just that sort of sense of calm, and he doesn't seem to be racing out. The older he's got, the more he just plays his role. And Mustafi seems to be a perfect foil. Are you as sold on the partnership as everyone else seems to be? And what did you make of it today?
I mean, I love it, but they need to get tested first. Let's not jump up and down about it. Like, what they've done so far, absolutely brilliant. And you can't fault them. You cannot fault them at all. But let's wait for them to, you know, get a few more games together. For me, Koscielny is easily top five centre-backs in the world, if not top three. Easily, definitely. I just think because he didn't come with a high price tag and he didn't come with, like, this big hoo-ha, people don't rate him that much. I honestly think he is a brilliant defender. He's just what you need. If I was to have one criticism against him, just because it's just that he turns his back when lots of shots. I remember he was doing it a lot last season when he was turning his back for some unknown reason, but he's kind of cut that out now. And I just think that he just does stuff so calmly, gets the ball, plays it, runs back. Doesn't, you know, and when he needs to go forward, he does go forward. He can pop up with a goal like he did today, like he did against... Who was the overhead kick against?
Southampton.
Yeah. So, and when we need him, he is, I think, and then Mustafi compliments him so much. I think they've clicked straight away, which is very, very good. I think, you know, they're on the same wavelength. They talk to each other. I think it helped a lot that Mustafi... speaks English. I think that's helped a hell of a lot for them to settle. And obviously, there's going to be bookings that they're going to get, and they're going to be out for either injuries or suspensions. It's inevitable. They're defenders, so it's going to happen. And you know, whenever Per comes back or Gabriel can step in, or even Rob Holding, I think that as long as one of those two are there, I think they will always help the other person.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's really good to have a partnership finally that we all trust and we're all kind of happy with, because you have some people that were fans of Mertesacker, some were fans of Gabriel, some are fans of neither, some are fans. It's just like, it's nice that everyone's just on side to go, yeah, that, you know, we're all happy with it. Also, interesting fact for you, Laurent Koscielny has now scored the same amount of goals as Wayne Rooney and Paul Pogba combined this season. Good times. John, what about our favourite, Theo Walcott? Because we are, of course, we've always, you know, we've never criticised him on this show. We've always been 100% behind him, you and I. No, that's a lie. But
I've got a tattoo of him on my back and everything. Yeah,
yeah, no, along with your shrine to Joel Campbell. But I thought he was quietly effective again today. He didn't have, obviously, it wasn't as good as he has been in recent weeks. But, you know, uh-huh. There is a levelling off period. But once again, I think something I really noticed about him today, okay, yes, they didn't go in, but he took some shots from distance and he had the confidence to get a touch, get out of his feet and have a try. He wasn't always looking to give it, but at the same time, he was quite happy to, you know, to pass when he needed to. That's a sign of the confidence that he's got at the moment. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I thought, you know, his movement was good again today. You know, we know Alexis likes to drop deep when he's playing that forward role, and Theo does a really good job of taking up that position and occupying defenders. Who is doing his good runs from outside to win that we've seen him do ever since he's been at the club, and it's probably his best trait, one of his best abilities. There was one where Sanchez slipped him in, and he just took it really well and turned in one motion and had the shot and just, you know, just across the goal, see if anyone can get on the back stick for it. Form at the moment. He's working hard as well. He seems to be enjoying playing with Bellerin as well. The commentary I had, I think it was Sky commentary, I can't remember now, but they were talking about how partnerships are really important all over the pitch, not just centre-back. But, you know, having the winger and the full-back, having a good understanding, him and Bellerin seem to be playing very well, instinctive, know where each other are. You've seen previous times when that partnership down the right or left-hand side hasn't really worked out, and they'd play a ball expecting the run to be the overlap coming. It's not there. So, yeah, if he keeps up this form, it's really good. And when you think that, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain is someone who's clearly one of Arsene Wenger's favourites, he's now relegated to the bench. Sometimes maybe doesn't even make the squad. Iwobi is ahead of him, and Theo Walcott is ahead of him, who has got nothing but stick constantly. He's been at Arsenal, I think it's sometimes fairly as well. That's really good credit to the way he's come back, especially after last season, because he was very poor last year. I don't want to get too excited, because we've seen this before, these sort of false dawns with Theo Walcott. I just hope that this is we're going to get this sort of level of performance throughout the season from him. Yeah, he's going to have the odd game where he's going to dip. Everyone does that. Everyone has a bad game. But if he can just keep a consistent level of performance and just do that throughout the whole season, then, yeah, he could be double figures for goals quite easily, up there with assists and everything else, and working hard and really improving the team. You know, it's no team wants to play against someone who's got that much pace, regardless of his sometimes dubious finishing. Obviously, in recent weeks, he's been really good, but you don't want to have to play against that. It's really difficult.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And I think he's something I really like about Theo at the moment is that he doesn't have a set position. And what I mean by that is that he's combining what he learned when he was up front with what he's clearly worked on as a wide player. So he's doing both. And he constantly comes in and makes a two with Alexis at times, and then he'll drift wide again, and then he'll come back inside again. And him and Alexis seem to rotate positions. And I think that's a really good option for us to have that ability to change at any point.
People in the chat talking about his work rate as well. You know, like, you're seeing a lot more of that, getting back and making tackles and putting pressure on players, that kind of thing. Trying to cover for Bellerin, filling the position. All right, no, it's not the best aspect of his game. It's never going to be. But the fact that he's doing that and making that effort and doing it consistently is the main thing, and is really good. So, yeah, I hope he keeps it up, because I don't want to have to... You know, I don't enjoy sitting here criticising Arsenal players. I hate doing that. I'd rather be, you know, everyone was excellent and we played really well and everyone put in the performance, so you can cheer about all of them.
Yeah, I'm with you. And should be noted as well, Alexis was really good again today. Just in, again, like you say, work rate, movement, his ability to pick up the ball from deep and drive. I thought he was, you know, he might not have got too much joy, but I thought he worked his nuts off. And I mean, he always does, let's be honest, but it should still be noted that he did put his all in for the team today. And as Danny will tell you, back in the days, I could probably tell you I'm bloody old enough, back in the days at Highbury, you know, you would support players that worked hard, you know, even if they weren't the most blessed players ability wise, if they put a shift in and, you know, really got up and down and showed that they were trying to do something, you'd give them a pass. I think Theo is finally learning that. So good luck to him. Good luck to him. We shall start calling this CBW Radio if it carries on. Carl, but the only other player I wanted to just focus on before we turn our attention to other bits and bobs, Grimondi, Danny's put in the chat room. Yeah, good shout, Danny. Just want to touch on Santi Cazorla as well. You know, I have lots of love for Santi. I love that little man. He's a wonderful man. I'd like to have tea and cake with Santi. It just strikes me as a guy I'd love that. I thought he was really good again today. And again, not because he did anything unbelievable, not because he, you know, took on eight players and what, but it's just his composure and his ability just to take a ball under pressure. One little shimmy the hips, one turn. There was one pass, I think, second half, where he just collected it in one motion, turned in one motion and was away. And it took like three Burnley players out of the game. The thing I want to ask you is his fitness. I mean, for a guy who's, what, 31 now, I think he is? Mm. He's 98% pass completion. Thank you, Stefan. That says it all. He's playing every game. And I know a lot of people have said, oh, we don't want to risk him. Well, he's clearly fit enough. So what do you think he's done to be so fit? He looks bigger to me. He looks bulkier. And for me, he's, you know, he is one of the starters every week just because of what he brings us. So what did you make of his performance and what do you make of this change of sort of fitness that he's gone through?
You know, it's something that was said a little while ago. He's got the quietest feet in football. He's absolutely brilliant. He just, his control, his composure, his passing, I don't know what he does. It's just, you know, he's just absolutely brilliant. And I think if he scored more goals, then he'd get recognised. I don't know why people, unless you score a lot of goals, you don't really get recognised as a really good player in football. And it's really, I don't know, just one of those things. I just think it's his composure. He doesn't get flustered, doesn't get riled up. He just gets the ball turned and passes. Like, the simple things he does. I think sometimes there are players in our squad that kind of overplay a little bit, you know, don't pick out the simple pass. Cazorla does that. He just picks out the simple pass, even if it's a sideward pass, if it's a forward pass or a backward pass. All his passes are just really, really simple. Yes, he obviously tries to go for the spectacular sometimes, you know, the over the top, trying to beat 10 men and things like that. But 9 times out of 10, it comes off. His composure, I think that's the word. I think the composure on the ball, it's just absolutely brilliant. And he brings an air of calmness, whether he's next to, whether it be Coquelin, whether it be Xhaka, whether it be Elneny, Ramsey, you know, he's got a plethora of sort of partners that he could sort of, he's going to play with this season. And yeah. I'm kind of with you, as long as he's fit and, you know, I don't want him to burn out. So, yeah, there are games that I think he should miss, but as long as he's fit and he's willing to play, playing, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, you're not going to drop players who are on good form. That's just silly. So if he's fit and he's playing well, play him.
I'm totally with you. Totally with you. I think it's absolutely bang on the mark. And yeah, I do love him. I'm with you as well with regards to the goal scoring thing. This is where me and Jace have had this argument so many times, and I know Jace wants him to just have, you know, have more shots on goal, and because he's technically good enough, you know, and he probably doesn't get enough goals. But for me, if he's in that position, I don't mind that, as long as he's doing, you know, the things he's doing, I'm happy with him just to do that. But yeah, it's one of the great myths of why people don't really rate players if they don't score goals. But such is life. Such is life. We've got a couple of questions just with regards to Burnley, which I'm going to touch on in a second. Do thank everyone for joining us live. 124 of you in there. If you do like what we do, just give us a little thumbs up down the old YouTube channel. I think we've explained this 1,000 times. We don't get any money for this. It's all out of our own time and love for this club and love for you guys. But a little thumbs up helps us spread the word and gets more and more Arsenal fans tuning in from all around the world. So if you do like us, just give us a little thumbs up. Thanks very much. Yeah, John, we had a question from some bloke called Dom, who wanted to ask about Burnley, and this might prove some interesting debate because I've got a view on this and I don't know where you stand, but he asks if we should give Burnley more credit for stopping our attackers doing what they want, or were we just that poor? Just sort of opening up on that. I mean, what's your view on Burnley? Because I should say, I give full credit to them. You know, they did a good job. I thought Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain was bang on post-match when he said, you know, that they played to their strengths. I have a bit of an issue, though, with a team playing at home basically having no interest in trying to win the game. So you obviously disagree. So what's your thoughts on that?
Right. I know you and some of the other guys from ABW are of the opinion that maybe I shouldn't lump you in it. I know some of the guys from ABW are of the opinion that Burnley don't even deserve to be in the Premier League. They play shit, you know, park the bus football, not trying to entertain their fans at home, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, usual stuff, right? Fair enough. Okay, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I get that. If I'm a Burnley fan, if I saw my team playing open attacking football at home against Arsenal in the form they're in, I'd be pulling my fucking hair out. Because we'd get absolutely raped. Because if Burnley did that today and just left loads of space, they would have been smashed to pieces today, even though we weren't, you know, we weren't fantastic. But that's what would have happened. The fact they sat back deep, they didn't get many set pieces, which is obviously their plan to get the goals from, trying to hit Sam Vokes and getting to hold the ball up and then bringing others into play like George Boyd and Hendricks.
Jimmy.
Then, yeah, Jimmy, trying to bring in Jimi Hendrix. I don't have a problem with it. I think that's good. They defended really well today. We made it easy for them because we tried to go through the middle too much, which we've got a habit of doing. We weren't wide enough. We didn't use the pitch. We didn't use the full width. I think if we did that, we would have created more chances. But yeah, credit does have to go to Burnley because they made it really difficult for us. I do not have a problem with them at all playing that style of football. All they're about this season is trying to stay in the league. If they get a point in every single game, they will take that. And and they'll hope that 38 is enough to, you know, for them to stay up in the division. People forget, you know, we're in a privileged position where we get to complain when we finish second in the league and don't win it. A lot of teams are in a position where if they get a win away against West Brom and score three goals, you know, that might be the highlight of their season. So you've got to take into account the budgets of the club and what they get to spend in the squad. You know, he got the Stephen Defour in, who's a bit more exciting, more technical player, but you've got to play to your strengths. Honestly, Chris, if you were the manager of Burnley today, you wouldn't have said, yeah, just go out and attack and
I think this is the point I'm trying to make. And Carl, I'll get your thoughts in a second as well. I think that the only point I'm trying to make is that there's two sub points, really, I suppose. The idea that the Premier League is the best league in the world, I think, is a flawed concept based on games like today. Because, yes, the top six or maybe top eight are probably the best league in the world. But the people below that are not, because, you know, as you say, John, that their sole goal in the season is stay in the league. And I'm not criticizing that for a second, and no, I'm totally with you. If my team are playing top of the league, I don't go out and say, right, let's play 4-4-2 and attack them and, you know, throw everything at them. What I would say, though, is you look at how Swansea, for example, went at Man City last week. They lost the game, I understand that, and that's a fair point, but they were at home.
Swansea are an established Premier League team.
I agree.
I just thought
that Burnley could have offered more. I'm not saying they should have gone gung-ho and attacked us all ends up, but at least try and play a bit of football. And
you're restricted by what you've got in your squad. Who's the guy that got banned for the Twitter comments?
Andre Gray, yeah.
Like one of their best forwards is out at the moment with the suspension for, yeah, very stupid tweets, but how many years ago that was, it seems a little bit ridiculous. But there you go, modern football, we can't say anything now. I don't know. If you haven't got the players to do it, then I don't expect you to do it. It's different if you're going to play Chelsea and Mourinho is the manager and, you know, they've got fantastic quality players and he sits there and he plays really negative football. That I can understand. He's got good enough players to not have to play that style of football. but they just simply haven't. You cannot play open and attacking football against a team like Arsenal in the form they're in, whether you are home or away. It's just not going to work if you're Burnley. So you've got to fight for every single point. And they probably feel a bit hard done by today, to be honest.
No, I credit where credit's due with that. You know, as I say, they did defend brilliantly. And
I think they defended really well. You know, they created better chances than we did. Realistically, if you look at it, the Vokes one, the header, and I can't remember who the other geezer was who had a header that Cech made the save on. Yeah, they created better chances than we did in the game. They weren't entertaining to watch by any means, but you have to do what you can to stay in the league. Even teams like Stoke, who've got, you know, decent money and lots of good players, their first objective at the start of the season is to get to 40 points, and then anything after that is the bonus. So. But I agree with what you say. It's top six are exciting. Then after that, it's
a bun fight, isn't it? Yeah, agree. Well, just expanding on that, Carl. I mean, you know, just on Dom's point there. I mean, do you, rather than focusing on Burnley per se, what about from your side of things? Were we just poor? I mean, because I suppose you could argue if Arsenal score early, that forces Burnley to change their style. So, I mean, I can take that on board and I can say, yeah, I understand that side of things because, as you say, if we get that early goal, then that makes them come out and then that's when they get picked off. So I can sort of understand them starting cagey, certainly for the first half. So do you think it was more about how we weren't good enough to get around what we knew that they were going to do to us?
I think it's a mixture of both. Where credit's due, like I said earlier, kind of what John said as well, their objective today was to get a point. If you can get a point against Arsenal, then that's brilliant. That's a point more than they were probably looking to get at the start of the season. You know, you look at teams and you do, no matter what people say, you do, managers will look at teams and say, right, that's winnable. That's winnable. Not sure by that game. We'll probably lose that game. And, you know, you look at Arsenal, you're probably thinking, yeah, we will probably lose that game because on our day, attacking wise, we're the best in the league. We are. We're brilliant. And, you know, Burnley, like John said, Burnley is no way going to come out and try and attack us because we would rip them to shreds. We absolutely would. Our passing, our movement, we would kill them. So why not? If they can get a point from us, that's absolutely brilliant. That's brilliant for them. Absolutely brilliant. It's a mixture of both. They defended well and we just didn't create enough good chances to score. So, you know, you kind of got to give them credit where it's due. You know, their objective today was to try and get a point from Arsenal. And I kind of give them more credit because their keeper, you know, when teams come to Arsenal and their keeper time waste from the first minute, Burnley weren't really doing that. So that's kind of got to give them credit there. You know, the keeper went holding onto the ball, making 30-second kickouts and things like that. But at the end of the day, I don't care. We got the 3 points. Two tears in a bucket. Fuck it, I don't care.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, isn't it? Ultimately, you know, and the one thing I would say is that, of course, that where the plan comes flying off the rails is when you defend for the whole game and then you lose it with no time to get it back. I suppose that's where the plan is flawed. But you know, as I say, you know, I like Sean Dyche. You know, he is a man I would not want to fuck with on a night out. I can tell you that much. Strikes me as a guy.
He seems like a lovely bloke, though, doesn't he? He's very nice. Oh, he's a lovely bloke. Disturbing voice.
He's a lovely bloke, John. But I reckon after about 4 whiskies and a pint of Guinness, he would fuck shit up. I'm convinced he would lose. Yeah, I don't think you want to get on his bad side. In fact, I know you wouldn't want to get on his bad side from when he managed Watford. But that's not a story I can tell on air, unfortunately. Sorry. Moving on. we're just going to have a little before we take questions. And if you are one of the people who's not a particular Arsene Wenger fan, this might be a time to just go make a cup of tea, because I think it's only fair we do mark the 20th anniversary of Arsene's tenure yesterday. I don't know about you two, but the part that they sort of focused in on him as he walked across the pitch at the start. And you could tell he was doing that little sort of, I'm trying not to smile, but I can't hide it that I'm smiling. As it was quite clear to me that there was a large pocket of the away fans. I think the Arsene's magic hat was done a few times. One Arsene Wenger was done a few times. And, you know, despite everything we've gone through, the ins and outs camps and all that, you know, stupidity, we have to say a few words, don't we? This is a man who's been at this club for 20 years, and whether you like him or you don't like him, I want to just give you both an opportunity just to raise a glass, if you will, and give your own tribute. So, Carl, what do you think, and what's your sort of thoughts on the whole thing, and just what an achievement it is to be in charge of a club as big as ours for 20 years?
You give credit where credit is due. He's had to work really hard with our squad. You know, when he came in, me personally, I think he totally changed English football. Totally, definitely, maybe even world football. Because when he came in, you know, there was this British culture of drinking, eating what they wanted, you know, not proper training, not proper fitness regimes. And you hear what old players saying that he added 3-4 years to their careers. Now, players like Nigel Winterburn, Lee Dixon, Ray Parler, saying that he added years of their career. He came in and he inherited a brilliant back four. He inherited Ian Wright and Dennis Bergkamp. And, you know, you could say, you could argue that the weakest part of our team was the midfield. But, you know, he made sensible buys. You know, he's bought players. He bought players like Patrick Vieira, Emmanuel Petit, Mark Overmars, players who, I guess at the time, weren't really known. And people were obviously like, who are these players? Not really known. And they came in and then they settled in really well and they helped us win the league in his first full season. The beginning part of his tenure, absolutely brilliant. You couldn't fault it. You couldn't fault the first part of his tenure. He came in, he done what we needed to do, and he changed English football. He changed a lot of players, his game as well, and a lot of players' lives as well. And then it kind of died down because of the stadium move. And I don't think people quite realise the restraints that he had put on him. You know, when people were crying out for us to buy players, and we genuinely couldn't afford to buy players because of the stadium move. And for him to get us into the Champions League every single year with almost one hand tied behind his back, because it was. And, you know, I've read this quite a lot of articles and a lot of books about Arsene Wenger, and just what he had to go through. There's no way that people will say, oh, he doesn't like to buy players. It's not that he didn't want to buy players. It's that the stadium move really crippled us for about 4 or 5 years. And literally, he was that having to pick up dregs of football. I mean, people like Mikel Silvestre, we never wanted him. But the fact of the matter, we just needed a centre-back. And he was available. And, you know, he came into the squad. For me, he will be, in my era, he is the greatest manager of Arsenal. And I started supporting Arsenal maybe the very back end of George Graham, the very, very back end of George Graham. You know, I was there through Bruce Rioch, Stuart Houston, players like managers like that. So in my era, he has to go down as the greatest manager. And I think the achievements that the things that he's done is just brilliant. I mean, unbeaten season. Absolutely just brilliant. Let's go for a whole season unbeaten. That is impossible. You know, no other manager has done that since he's done it. And it was 50 years ago. It just the things that he does for Arsenal. And I know, you know, in his later years, he hasn't done as well sort of as we hoped he would have done. And I'm not in any camp. I'm not, don't know letters after my name. I'm not a Wob, not an AKB. You know, there are times where you're frustrated with Arsenal and he frustrates you. It's like your dad, you know, just the things that you can see him doing wrong. And because that you can see him do wrong, he doesn't change it. But I have the maximum respect for this man. He's transformed Arsenal Football Club, you know, free-throwing football, brilliant players, you know, the things that he's done for the Arsenal Football Club, world football, not even English football, world football is just a testament, personally.
Yeah, fitting tribute. Well said. And John, anything you wanna add to that, and your own personal thoughts on Arsene's tenure? Because I know you've been sort of advocate of change. Again, you're not in a camp, but you feel that the time was right to change. And you know, you have your own thoughts, and what's your sort of views on the 20 years as a whole?
I'm not going to. I'm trying not to be disrespectful. He's done amazing things at the club, and he will be remembered for all of those. The one thing that disappoints me about it is, I think it's going to sound, I don't know, maybe some people might think it's greedy. He should have won more. You know, 3 titles in 20 years, in my opinion, is not enough with the players he's had at the club. Any amount of time he's had there. Don't get me wrong, he's done amazing things for football, not just for Arsenal. And like Carl was spot on, like he totally changed the league, and he really brought that European style to the Premier League, and the fitness and the attitude to training and all those kind of things really did change the face of the Premier League. But it annoys me that there's things that he won't get to, or he hasn't done, that I think, in my opinion anyway, he should have done. The interesting thing will be when he stops being manager, whether he walks away from the club completely or if he becomes like a director or something like that. Because that, for me, I think it's better he walks away from the club completely, because I think if he goes to director, then it could end up going wrong, and that would really taint his legacy for me. But yeah, I'm just a bit disappointed he didn't win more.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Well, okay, I'm greedy.
No, it's fair. And again, you know, you speak to Arsenal fans, and you'll always get somebody with a different, slightly different opinion on things. I mean, I think most people know where I stand. You know, I do have an absolute ton of respect for the man, and you know, and I'm not sort of one of these that sits in a camp like you two. I don't feel that change is necessary unless you can upgrade. And I personally don't feel like we have been able to upgrade in this time. I look at what's happening at Manchester United and the instability they've had for years. I look at the, you know, the things that have gone on at Chelsea, even Man City. You know, I mean, you know, Pep Guardiola is obviously doing good things there. But Christ, how many issues have they gone through, and how many players have they gone through, and how much money has been spent to get where they are now? And I think that the biggest testament you can pay to the current modern day Arsene Wenger is big players still, you know, still want to work with him. And you still hear tributes from players, some players not even associated with Arsenal, saying, you know, how much of a difference he's made to the football over here. And I think the biggest compliment he can be paid is when Sir Alex Ferguson comes out, you know, and says he changed his opinion on Arsene Wenger. I think that says it all, doesn't it? Because he's never been one to compliment anyone. And if there's one thing I would say I would love to happen, if it is to be his last season, because nobody really knows, but whenever his last season is, I want him to beat a Mourinho team and beat them very well. I just want that one moment where he can just stand in a press conference afterwards and go, yeah, we smashed them. And I also really want to read that book. If that book ever comes out, I'm with you, Carl. I think there's a lot of stories to tell. And it will be really, really interesting to see if that ever comes out. But a fitting tribute, nevertheless. And I think we'll all agree. And we say, you know, congratulations are very much deserved, and credit where credit's due. Let's hope we can win something else this season just to make John happy, because that is what this is all about.
Yep.
Right, we're going to finish with some questions then before I shoot off, because there's a rather big match in France I'd like to watch tonight. Sorry, everyone. Right, first question we had come in was from Karthik Ramanian. Dave, thoughts on Shaka Santi partnership? Will this work against teams that sit deep? Carl, go.
Probably not, I don't think. And that's, the reason why is I don't think none of them like to break into the box. Teams like who sit deep, you need someone like Aaron Ramsey who will break from the centre mid and, you know, try and get on beyond the sort of our last man. So I, for some reason, I don't think it will. I think in those situations, you really do need an Aaron Ramsey in the squad.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly put and straight, concise. I like it, and I agree. It didn't really work today, but you know, we'll have other opportunities. Has worked plenty of times in recent time, that's for sure. Another question for the same person, John. You can have this one. He said, "Do you think we should be taking more or getting more from our fullbacks in the final third, given that they're considered attacking fullbacks? Do you agree with that?"
It was difficult for them today because they haven't got a target to hit with a cross. You know, like we said earlier, Giroud would have been really good in this game. But without that kind of target in the middle of the box, it's a difficult game for them. Alexis is going to drop deep and Theo fills in the middle, and with those kind of players, you have to hit the ball first time. It's not something we really need to do. I think their pass selection, who they're picking out, could be better. There was a couple of times with Bellerin. It was Bellerin mainly who's getting down the flanks more than Monreal today. But there was one or two times where he got down and he could have picked out. Sanchez was making a run at the back stick and he tried to float it to the front of the box for Ozil running on instead. Just picking out the right pass in the right selection. But they'll have better games against teams who come out a little bit more and don't sit so deep. It's going to be difficult for them. Their main job today would have been just to stretch the play out and try and pull Burnley players out of position as much as possible.
Yeah, well summed up. A gentleman called Dom Nusky, I don't know who he is, he says, hopefully after the international break, John's beard comes back well rested and in much better form. I think it's a bit jaded and has a little bit handbrake on. I agree with him. Yeah. It's been poor. Rumour has it he's meeting Sam Allardyce to talk about getting some fast track payments so we can improve upon the bid. So keep your ear to the ground.
Allegedly, obviously.
Allegedly, yeah, naturally.
Allegedly, of course.
Allegedly. Question here for Johnny Moon. Question, Kieran Gibbs, is he worth a run of games in the side at the moment? Monreal has not looked his best lately. I'll be honest, I haven't seen this thing about Monreal not being good. I think he had a slow start to the season, but I think he's got better. Carl, do you think Gibbo will get a run in the side, or are you happy with Nacho still?
He did have a slow start. He didn't play well towards the beginning of the season, but he's coming to his own. I think he was very good against Chelsea. I had a little moan at him against Chelsea because he kept leaving Willian on the left-hand side, but that's only because he was covering off the centre-backs. So he was doing what he should have done. But no, I think he's not done too badly. At the moment, I wouldn't change a winning team. The centre, our back line is playing really well at the moment. So until a force change is needed, I wouldn't change the back line.
I would agree. Don't change a winning team, essentially, isn't it? It sounds like an obvious thing to say, but I'm totally with you. I wouldn't change a winning team. What else we got in the old chat box? Are you guys putting stuff in? I'm not keeping up here, am I? No. Okay, let's go back to the chat box. Another one from Johnny Moon, actually. If fit, does Giroud start the next game as Sanchez is doing a tour around the world again for Chile? That's an excellent question, Johnny, I think. John, what do you make of that? Because we are going into another fucking international break. Oh, God's sake. Can we not just end international football? It's the most dull thing ever. But yeah, we are going into an international break. So what do you think? Is this the time for Giroud to get himself sorted out and be ready to start when he comes back?
Yeah, hopefully. Whatever his mystery toe injury is that he's got. I mean, the thing with Sanchez is it doesn't matter how much he plays, he just seems to play at full speed all the time. But yeah, you want to give him a break as much as possible. I think our game, who have we got on the way back from the
Swansea. Swansea.
Yeah, home to Swansea. So yeah, that's, you know, you're expecting Swansea probably will sit deep because they're away to us. So it seems like the sort of game Giroud could start in. Maybe see Perez as well get a run out at some point if he gets over whatever this knock is on his knee. I think it was a knee injury he picked up. So anytime you can rest a few players, definitely worth doing. Like you said, obviously, you don't want to change a winning team. But I think the main thing with that is you never really want to change the back four. You can shift one or two players, like midfield or up front. You can interchange them a little bit easier without disturbing the balance in the team. But leave the back four as it is. But yeah, hopefully we get to see Giroud play. He's had plenty of time off, so.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, final thing I'm going to ask you both on is just with regards to the other teams around us. Just quickly, we saw how to beat a Guardiola side today. I think Dom actually made a very good point in our WhatsApp group, which somebody messaged me the other day asking if they could buy their way into our WhatsApp group, which I found very disturbing because, trust me, it's not worth money.
What? Really?
Yeah, somebody, I won't embarrass them on air. Somebody private messaged me.
How much did they offer? Hang on a minute. And they didn't say. Can we just start another WhatsApp group and start selling spaces?
Yeah, I mean, £300 a pop shot. Yeah. Yeah, true. We've got to make our money. Trust me, people, it's not that interesting. It usually involves just pictures of John's penis and various other things. It's not that exciting.
Oh, God.
It doesn't really. Yes, the point Dom made was about Man City, and he was saying that Guardiola has obviously made a massive impact on City. That's clear for everyone to see. But what I think he's trying to do is he's trying to play the Barcelona way of the Premier League, and it doesn't work because teams do not allow you the time at the back. I think only John Stones is really used to playing that way. And I don't think he's going to be able to build up the play quite as easily as he thinks he can in the Premier League against sides that press like Spurs did today. And I'm not going to give him any credit because they're Spurs. So fuck them. But, you know, they did overall deserve to win the game today, and they nullified Aguero. And without De Bruyne being able to thread those passes, they looked pretty punchless. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on our rivals. We saw Man United drop points again today. They were dog shit, which was hilarious. Spurs obviously are impressing some people. And Liverpool, obviously we know that they are going to win the league because it's Liverpool, so of course it's their year. But who do you think poses the biggest threat? I just want to ask you both that question. Carl, for you, who do you think is the biggest concern at the moment?
Man City, definitely, because they're at the top of the league. So, of course, they're the front runners. I hate giving them credit because I can't stand the team. But that lot from the road, they're playing well, no matter what you say. They are playing well. So you kind of have to, I'm not giving them any credit, but it's best to keep an eye on them. And Liverpool. Liverpool, because no one's talking about them, I think, and they've... When the team's got no European football, one game a week, you know, that's how they can play that high-intensity pressing game, because obviously they run the most in the league. And when you're playing one game a week, you know, you've got maximum recovery time, you can do that. So, and no one's really talking about them. No one's mentioning Liverpool. No one's saying, oh, Liverpool are title favourites. Everyone's just, you know, focusing on Man City. Everyone's focusing on the scum, and everyone's focusing on us. And for some reason, still talking about Man United and because of the Mourinho factor. But I think Man City, Liverpool, the scum and us, I think personally that will be the top four. Just what order?
Yeah, agreed. I went with Chelsea pre-season. That's looking like it might be a bit wrong. John, what do you reckon?
Yeah, Man City easily. I know they lost today, but makes no difference. You got the fullback selection wrong for today's game, but it'll change that. Guardiola just he adjusts things in games and from game to game, so I don't expect them to play any different. The loss of De Bruyne is really big for them. He was great last. He was probably the best player last season, and he's been fantastic this season up until the injury. So that's a worry. Spurs, like I saw a bit of it today. I've seen them a little bit this season. I don't know. You know, so you get the Mong mouth breather who will get a couple of goals and then he'll fall over and injure himself and suck his thumb and, you know, maybe give himself hepatitis or something. I don't know, that'd be nice. So, yeah, I don't really care about them. Liverpool, yeah, like Carl said, they're looking decent. I think their problem is defence. They'll still concede goals. And the thing that's... I don't think they'll necessarily, like, be there right at the end of the season, but the thing that is slightly worrying for me is, as bad as Man United and Chelsea have been, they're only 3 points behind us. Which,
I know what you mean. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Well, we've been, you know, pretty good, to be honest, this season. I know we had the bad start, but other than that, we've been really, really good and look great and everything. And you think they're only 3 points behind. You think every game I've seen them, they've looked pretty shit. I mean, Chelsea were okay for a few. And Costa looked annoyingly good. I still think it's City's league to lose, to be honest. I think they've got... okay, he doesn't know the league, but I think they've got the best manager and they've got... I don't know if they've got the best squad, but I think he can get the most out of those players. And you see when someone like Raheem Sterling, who was terrible at the Euros, had a really crap last season, and you see how he's a totally different player now. So much better. So it's them to lose, and obviously the fact they've got that Gabriel Jesus is coming in, he'll be in January, and they can go and get more players if they need them.
That is the worry, isn't it? I did enjoy Raheem Sterling and Danny Rose kicking the shit out of each other today. that was, and I have to say though, credit where credit's due. Danny Rose was brilliant in Beverly Hills Cop, so credit where credit's due.
That's really insulting to Eddie Murphy. He's like one of my favourite actors.
It is a bit, but have you not seen his new Tash, John? You need to look it up if you haven't. The man looks like an epic thunder cunt. I'm sorry, you know, there is no excuse for. He's a twat of a man, isn't he? Him and Jelly Belly Alley. Oh, ugh. If I could put them in a big cannon and fire them to the moon, I would.
Sam Dewhurst has put Sterling still runs like he's drying his nails.
Yes, he does. Yeah, he does.
Brilliant.
That's so true. So true. I want to give a quick nod to a tweet that we did get, which we didn't answer the question, but just from Paul Bass. It's more of a statement, actually. He just said, anyone else feel we aren't going to concede under heavy pressure? It's a nice feeling. I wanted to finish with that because I actually do get that feeling sometimes at the moment, and it's quite nice. It is quite nice knowing you've got a good, solid back four. So, yeah, good times, good times. Okay, we'll leave it there because, I got stuff to do and watch and about 84 other podcasts to do at some point tonight. So thank you to everyone watching. I know Mr. Davies is in the chat, and I just want to publicly extend my thanks to him for stepping in at very short notice on Tuesday after my internet went bang. So thank you, Jace, much appreciated, and indeed to Dom and I'm not going to give Danny any credit. He has to be here, so fuck him. But, yeah, it was a good show, and I very much enjoyed listening to that. So, and thank
Come
you, of
on,
course,
on
Carl,
into
Milan's well.
Kicking off.
Sorry. but, yes, thank you, everyone, for joining us in the chat. We really appreciate it. Thanks for your interactions. Do give us a thumbs up. Give us a follow. Hit the old subscribe button. You can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud and all the relevant places. Danny will upload this show later on when he gets out of bed. So that'll probably be about... 4 o'clock tomorrow morning, I would imagine. But that was ABW Radio. Thank you very much, Carl. Thank you very much, John. Appreciate your time as always, gentlemen.
Cheers.
We'll keep it Arsenal. Tries to stay awake during the international break. I know it's tough, but we'll be back for Swansea. I might not be, because I might be going to meet a wizard. More on that later. But until then, this has been ABW Radio Live. We appreciate your time. Keep it Arsenal, and we'll speak to you on the podcast on Thursday. Ta-ta!